Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Most Clicked, where we discuss the popular stories of the week, courtesy of the Education Marketer email newsletter. You can find out more over on wearesmile.com/most clicked. I'm Nathan from Smile, a leading digital agency for the higher education sector, and today I'm hosting this session with my good friends, Matt Lees, also from Smile, and Kyle, who is the infamous Education Marketer. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Infamous. That's a new one.
Yeah, infamous. All right. So this week, we're going to be looking at the top three stories again, Carl, from your newsletter. Why don't you take it away and tell us what was most clicked last week?
I think before we kick off, should we talk about this Facebook blackout just very quickly? I mean... What a show. I mean, I think this is the longest time the site's been down since its launch, Nathan, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was bad, wasn't it? It was bad,
yeah.
Sod's Law, we had scheduled a live stream for 5 p.m, literally the moment that everything went down, and it took out our provider. We couldn't do the live stream. So annoying.
Okay, is that a live stream on Facebook or separate?
No, just through the software that we use, because it has so many ties with Facebook. It just bombed.
That's crazy.
I know.
It makes me think how connected these things are. And, you know, from a content marketing perspective, I always say to people that if you're building these properties and businesses, you should probably not build it on like a rented platform.
It's
not just one goes down. If something breaks, then the whole thing could just cascade. And, you know, time and time again, we rely on these things every day, and they can go away just as easy as they come. It's a big warning for all of us, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, so first item. So third most popular clicked item this week was a piece around Twitter, Twitter Spaces, and... the new Twitter function allows you to generate revenue through the platform. So I was really surprised at this. The story is that having launched their new revenue platform for creators, they've only managed to generate $6K in the first couple of weeks of being launched, and that's across everything. Now that surprises me, because I feel it's not a failing of the platform in itself. I just think it's more the fact that Twitter didn't really speak about it. And I think generally Twitter needs to get a lot better about talking up the things that it's doing that are quite innovative, because it's doing a lot. You know, it has integrations with Spatial, which is a new 3D working tool. It's sort of like a really good version of Microsoft Teams, and it treads that sort of uncanny line between, you know, the real and the digital space, you know, when you've got those really weird avatars, but it does it well. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I've seen little bits of it, nothing serious. I've not taken it too seriously, basically, and looked into it any deeper, but it sounds pretty interesting.
It is. I mean, I have a play with it, and the thing I did on it was I went to like a digital auction, and, you know, I got to see this piece of artwork being auctioned in a 3D space. And yes, I was experiencing it through my kind of not budget smartphone, but one that isn't like the latest iPhone, and it was chugging a little bit. But you can see how over the next few years, this sort of stuff is really going to smooth itself out and find a bit more of a foothold in the market. But there's loads of cool stuff like that happening on Twitter, and you just wouldn't know about it. So something needs to happen there, because Facebook certainly shouting about all its innovations, even if it has gone down recently, but there's a lot more noise over there than there is on good old Twitter at the moment.
That's really cool. All right, well, what's up next?
Okay, so this is a piece from a university, University of Middlesex.
Do you want to... So, surprise, we've got a special guest. Do you, Carl, do you want to do the honour and introduce our special guest?
I will. Lydia is from University of Middlesex, and she looks after campaigns and all kinds of marketing across the entire team, really. So we're very happy to have her on here as our first guest to actually talk through one of these marketing initiatives from a first person perspective.
Awesome. Hello. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Do you mind stepping us through a little bit about what you've been up to?
Yeah, so I think the video that Kyle chose is a video that we made about teaching and learning. And yeah, you can see it here. So it's got three students talking about their experiences during the pandemic when they were all learning at home, and then before that as well. And I think that one of the things that Carl brought out that you thought that you was a good thing about the video was how it kind of was a bit real and like reassuring and personal. And I think that maybe part of the reason for that is the way that we work with the students, which is the way that we always work with students. We kind of co-create with them and we talk to them before we do anything and kind of understand where they're coming from, like their experiences and their interests. And then we use that to like shape the way that we make the content. So it feels like they get to tell their story, but we also get to tell our story as a university.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I was saying to you before we recorded how I really like how you've tackled some really challenging themes that have been popping up this year, especially around like online learning. And you managed to find some students who have had a positive experience and, you know, actually seeing this stuff front and center in your marketing is very powerful, because, you know, other universities, I wouldn't say are dodging that topic, but they're being very tactical about the way they handle it. But you're being very forward in how you're getting students talking about that experience and how they are experiencing it day to day. And I'm sure you agree, Nathan, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's on the money. I mean, Matt, for a webinar that we did not so long ago, we did some work with Akiro, and they've got this awesome kind of data insights thing. And well, Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about the stuff with Akiro and why this is so spot on, I guess?
Alex from Akiro spent quite a bit of time talking to him, and he gave some really insight, really good insight into the kinds of things that students are after. And I think he hit the nail on the head. I thought it was really quite refreshing as well to see the students front and center of that piece. You know, we talk quite a lot about social validation and how the student voice means just as much as the institution's voice. So it's quite nice to have that piece that's solely focused around them.
Yeah, we try and put people at the center of all of our content, but especially students. And last year, actually, we made a video kind of towards the end of their first month at uni. And we got students to kind of film themselves and what they've been up to. And it was kind of it was about starting university in lockdown, basically, which kind of had highs and lows. And we didn't, they had positive experiences, but also they were sad about the fact that they couldn't meet people in person. And one person was studying, was an international student, so she had to go home. And so I think that also had a really, really good response. I think people took well to the fact that we weren't trying to sugarcoat things, but also students had a good time. And what's nice about that one is that we can kind of revisit it this year and go back to those students and be like, so what was your first month like on campus? Yeah. And then see what they've got to add to it.
It really pays to have those core group of students you can go back to. I remember when I worked in higher education, a lot of your time is spent finding those people. And when you finally find one or two, it's like, wow, this is great. Because they tend to deliver time and time again. And the more they do, the better they get. And it's a nice big circle of gratitude in that sense. And that'll bring us on to, sorry, carry on.
No, I was just going to say, and then you also know who to ask when you want to talk about certain topics, because you know them and you know what they, like what they're interested in, and what they've got to share.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, cool.
Lead us into our final piece, though, won't it, about ambassadors?
Yeah, knock yourself out, Carl. This one's all you.
Well, thank you very much. But it's a really weird when my own content actually outperforms other stuff. I had two pieces in this week. One that was a bit of a personal interest piece into like crypto and the potential of education marketers, and another one which is about ambassadors. How to work with a core set of principles that leads to ambassadors having better conversations. Quite naturally, the ambassador piece won. so that's really, really good. Maybe. I don't think people are quite ready for the crypto stuff yet, and I don't blame them. It's absolutely terrifying. So let's talk about the ambassador principles. I think the reason this article did quite well is because I perhaps took a slightly different take on it. I explored a lot of the stuff that it goes into building ambassador teams. So it's the stuff you don't necessarily see in the conversations. It's the groundwork you do to lead up to those great conversations. And one of the things I looked at was the recruitment process behind getting ambassadors in. So rather than just creating one sort of blanket job ad, it was about breaking those job ads down into the individual type of ambassadors you want to recruit. So you might want to recruit a digital ambassador who works solely on video, or one who solely works on blogging or social media channels, or whatever way you want to phrase it. But the idea is you're treating these like individual job specs rather than a blanket approach that will not necessarily appeal to everyone. So you're getting quite niche in your recruitment process. Lydia, I don't know if you've got some thoughts on this and how you've gone about working with student ambassadors at Middlesex.
Yeah, so we recruit quite a few across the department, and the ones that I'm specifically work with are the digital ambassadors. Mm. So we have a really specific JD for them. We include examples of the kind of stuff they could work on in there, which I think helps as well to bring it to life a bit and talk about the opportunities they're going to get. And I think the other thing we do is we kind of proactively recruit. Like if we spot people on social who are doing good things or they have a good audience, we'll go to them and kind of be like, you're a bit of an influencer, be an ambassador too.
Nice.
Which works really well. I think being specific about what they can get out of it as well, I think is good. Like we always talk about the fact they'll get a chance to build digital skills, to talk about things that matter to them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And that outreach part as well is really important. Too often do we rely on those standard channels, putting the job ad out. But, you know, if you know there's a talent out there and you want to, you know, sell your role into them, that's definitely a way to go. And I really like that. And a lot of the most successful ambassadors I've seen at other unis, they tend to come from that sort of route because they live in this sort of stuff. And, you know, why wouldn't they bring their all to their student ambassador role too? So yeah, glad to hear that you've had that experience too.
Yeah,
awesome. All right, well let's think about starting to wrap up here. Lydia, thank you so much for being our very first special guest ever. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. That just about wraps up episode 2. Thank you very much for watching. If you liked what you saw, please consider subscribing, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
See you later.